When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
It's not Friday, everybody. If you're waking up right now and you're like, wait a minute, what? It's Monday. It is. It's Monday. But we are doing a special edition of Fly Jams here for a Fly Jam Monday. So that means Dan is DJ Shigrew. He went into the TARDIS. He's got the shoes going with Superfly and Shaft.
And, of course, the Raspberry Beret, which started all that whole costume off.
That's right. The Raspberry Beret started off. We're doing a special, another Prince-themed Fly Jams, because we didn't get to the songs that Prince wrote that were recorded by others. Everybody's Esmeralda the Heartmelda is in traffic. And in the news, we got Viggity Viggity Vic, Verified Double V, and then Wiki Wiki Nick. Wiki Wiki Nicky is here. So, Vic, did you watch Purple Rain over the weekend?
If it wasn't an animated cartoon, I wasn't watching.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot you had the kids. You didn't do anything.
Right.
You didn't get to see any sports.
Well, we spent all weekend outside watching, and then when we were inside, it was animated cartoons.
Animated stuff. Okay. So, all right. Yeah, the Purple Rain would not be appropriate for children.
Nope.
Not at all. But, yeah, I mean, it was all Prince all weekend on television. You know, Purple Rain was being screened at theaters over the weekend. They actually had it in movie theaters. Some people went out to the theater. But now, speaking of movies and Prince, this is an interesting story. Prince would have secret midnight movie outings. And it's believed that the last movie he saw was Zootopia. So the last movie that Prince saw was Zootopia. Prince may have been an international superstar, but he also loved going to the movies just like the rest of us. As we find out more about Prince's endearingly regular habits in his hometown of Minnesota, a source at ET says that Prince would often rent out the local theater after midnight so he and a few of his close friends could catch the latest films. As long as they weren't R-rated, that is. The source says that Purple Rain singer would only see films rated PG-13 and below. So why do I find that so bizarre? Because he became more devout in his beliefs as a Jehovah's Witness late in his life. Because I was going to say he's responsible for some incredibly adult stuff. You know, I mean, you know, a lot. Did he not listen to his own catalog anymore? I mean,
although those are hits, you know, and I feel like most artists kind of get tired of them.
Yeah,
and he seems like the type to be like, no, I'm moving on.
I guess
I have a million other songs that I'm making right now in my head.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. It just seems weird. I mean, you know, God bless him. He had his beliefs, and that's cool. It's just very strange for a guy who is responsible, who put out some of the most raunchy and adult material that you've ever heard in the history of music. But he would only see PG-13 or below, and he would always call the day of to let the manager know how many people he was coming with, which sometimes would be only his bodyguard and another friend. His last theater outing was in March when he screened the animated film Zootopia. He looked great like he normally does, the source said about the last time Prince was at the theater. I was absolutely shocked when I heard what happened. By all accounts, Prince was a fairly normal theater goer, buying a water and occasionally popcorn or peanut M&Ms to snack on. But he definitely had a playful side. Recently, he hid around a corner and popped out to scare his friends, the source recalls. He was laughing and seemed like a very normal guy. I'm picturing Prince now. But like in full Prince clothes, you know what I mean? Not like in sweats, like he's got a ruffled shirt on, eye makeup.
The boots.
The giant like heels on the boots, you know, gloves. I'm picturing that whole thing.
And then he's so tiny.
He is. He's just a teeny weeny man.
You just imagine him like popping out of the corner.
Yeah. Scaring people. and then just sitting there in the theater eating peanut M&Ms watching Zootopia. That's a pretty fantastic image to have in your head of Prince just eating some peanut M&Ms and watching Zootopia. But again, you know, fully dressed, like the full, you know, the big fro, the third eye glasses. He's got to have the sunglasses on with the third eye. He probably had those on. Eating peanut M&Ms, drinking water, and watching Zootopia. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Oh, Prince. Love you, Prince. All right. Well, you know, SNL, we talked a little bit about this earlier. SNL did a special called Goodnight, Sweet Prince over the weekend. And although the performances were great to watch, and the performance particularly that was so much fun to watch that had not been seen before was him playing Let's Go Crazy at the post-Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary party. Which that was particularly great to watch. But all the performances were good, but I thought the structure of the show wasn't very smart, and that the last 35 minutes of the show was nothing but old Prince show sketches with Fred Armisen playing Prince, which are funny, I think very funny, but you don't back end the show with all that, backload them all with that. So, but anyway, so it is Monday, because my dad will be calling in and telling a joke to prove to you that it is indeed Monday. It's not Friday, but we are playing Fly Jams because one day for Prince material is not enough to honor this legend. So on this Fly Jam special edition on a Monday, these are songs that we're going to play that were written by Prince but performed by other artists. And let's begin with someone who died a few weeks ago, also at the age of 57. And we lost her just a few weeks ago, Vanity. And this is, she was in the band Vanity Six, but basically it's Prince's, it was Prince's girl band, and he wrote all the material, produced the record, and introduced everybody to Vanity, and this is Vanity Six with a song by Prince. Yeah. And it's just so weird that they both passed away within weeks of each other. And it was, what was crazy, Dan?
What's that?
Last week, one of the Carson reruns, Vanity, was on.
Oh, wow.
And she was there to promote The Last Dragon, Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Wow.
And she was dressed, she had a crazy feather boa thing on her head. And Johnny was all over her. He's like, you're very attractive. Johnny was, I think it was between marriages for Johnny. I think that was like divorce number four or something. Because he was all over Vanity. All over her. It was very funny. She didn't sing. She did not perform. She just came out to promote The Last Dragon. So that would be 1985. Like right at the height of her popularity and her success. And man, I'm telling you, to the hilt, she had like black gloves on the whole. It was just, it was insane. It was 80s. So she had like shoulder pad things happening and the black feathers flying out. And she brought a mask for Johnny. You know, not unlike the kind of mask that Prince would hold up in front of his face. Very much like that with like big black feathers and yellow stuff sticking out of it. And he put it up against his face. Yeah. I'm telling you, those Carson reruns are magnificent. If you don't have Antenna TV, I'm so sad for you. And if you do have Antenna TV and you're not watching the Carson reruns every night, then you're missing out on some of the greatest television of all time. Saturday night on one show, just this past Saturday night on one show, 1973, rerun from 1973, Dean Martin just happened to stop by. Just kind of walked in, just stopped by, drink cigarette in one hand, drink in the other. Dino. They did an Art Fern tea time movie with the matinee lady Carol Wayne, who also got to sit on the couch. Buddy Hackett, Burt Reynolds, all on one. Don Rickles, all on one show. It was the greatest thing ever. So, and I watch it every morning when I get home, and I'm looking forward to this morning when I get home because Carlin, George Carlin is on, and it's a mid-70s Carson rerun. So that's like at the height of George Carlin's pot and great material. And the ones on the weekend that they show on the weekend on Antenna TV, they're 90 minutes long. So they start at 9 o'clock, they go to 10:30. So the weekend ones are the best, man, because those are the ones from the 70s that are 90 minutes long. Phenomenal. All right. Okay, we got a break here, and then we come back to more Fly Jams Monday Special Edition featuring songs by Prince performed by others. Yeah. Stand Back by Stevie Nicks. Mike from Novak Construction. Novak Construction, by the way, really cool people. You can see their fantastic building right off of the Kennedy at the Addison stop. They always decorate for the holidays with the lights. It's always very, very, very cool. And they listen to the show all the time. Mike from Novak Construction requested Stand Back. Now, technically, not written by Prince. Stevie Nicks wrote the song. But here's the story behind it. The 1983 Wild Heart dance track Stand Back was written by Stevie Nicks herself, but Stevie Nicks says it, quote-unquote, belongs to Prince. She likes to tell its origin story. It was the day of her wedding. She and her new husband, Kim Anderson, were driving north on Santa Barbara for their honeymoon when she heard Little Red Corvette for the first time. She then wrote Stand Back, start to finish that day, humming along with Prince's single. When she later went to record the song, she called to tell him the story. 20 minutes later, the purple one showed up in her studio. He walked over to the synthesizers that were set up, was absolutely brilliant for 25 minutes, and then left. So that's him playing the synth on Stand Back. And he spoiled me for every band that I've ever had because nobody can exactly recreate, or even with two piano players, what Prince did by himself in 25 minutes. See, that's got to be insane. So he technically did not write the song, but he was the absolute inspiration for it. And he plays keys on it. So okay, that's got to be insane. It's like, I was listening to Little Red Corvette. I really loved it, so I wrote this song. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there in 25 minutes, baby. And then Prince shows up. How you doing? I'll just walk over to these keyboards because I'm a damn musical genius and I can play 53 instruments. And all those cool synth sounds that you hear, that's Prince.
Real quick, mentioning Little Red Corvette, did you hear what Chevy did?
Oh, yeah, tell everybody.
So Chevy took out a full-page ad in a bunch of newspapers, and all it said at the top was, "Baby, that was much too fast, 1958 to 2016, in a picture of a red Corvette."
Look at that. That's cool. Did you see Springsteen's performance of Purple Rain?
I haven't seen it. I heard it.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Did you hear about this, Esmeralda?
I heard of it. I didn't get to see it, though.
Springsteen, it's all over the internet. Springsteen had a gig in Brooklyn on Friday night. He opened with Purple Rain. And it's great. I mean, the E Street Band did a great job. It's hard to, you know, really capture that guitar solo in Purple Rain. They did. Here's the amazing thing about that song, about Purple Rain. That song, he debuted that song at First Avenue, the legendary, where a lot of Purple Rain takes place, the club where a lot of Purple Rain takes place. He debuted that in, like, August of 83, the song. And the recording that they use on the single with that guitar solo was from that performance. And it was the first time he performed the song. So that guitar solo that you hear on the final recording of the song Purple Rain is taken from the first time he ever played that solo at First Avenue. And that's the guitar solo that's on that song. I mean, the more you like discover about this guy, well, how was he human? Was Prince human? Good God. All right, more Fly Jam Monday here, special edition. And more music that Prince wrote that were performed by other people. We heard Nasty Girl by Vanity Six. The inspiration for Stand Back by Stevie Nicks was Prince, who played keys on it. This song, written, produced by Prince, also featuring Huey Lewis and Terry Thomas in the band. Huey Lewis and Terry Thomas, of course, go on to be massively, you know, very, very successful producers of Janet Jackson and you know, Alexander O'Neill and so many other artists. But they were in the band the time. And this, of course, is probably their best song. Come on, baby, where's your guts? You want to make love or what? Oh, no. Man, that is so fly. That is like the definition of fly. And man, the first time that's performed in that terrible movie Purple Rain is phenomenal. When they introduce the ladies and gentlemen, the time. And then that song starts and it kicks in and you got the dudes in the balcony. You remember the dudes in the balcony who do the choreographed dance? They're just dudes in a balcony, and they're all, like, wearing the same outfits, and they start doing this choreographed dance. Like, one guy does a move, then the next guy, and then the next guy, and then they're all moving. It's fantastic.
They just met that night.
They did. They just, that was just, it just came out. Yeah. Jungle Love, man, by the time. You know, they played, the time played, this was probably, I don't know, 8, 9 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. They had like a concert series right outside here in Pioneer Court in the summer on like Friday nights. So they would have acts out there play. And then it got to the point where they were actually using our downstairs like facilities as a green room for the performers. Like they would our old lobby downstairs, you know, where the receptionist would sit. There was revolving doors and everything. They would use that lobby as like a green room for the people who were performing. So one night I'm walking down the hallway and I literally bumped into Morris Day. I'm walking down the hallway and he's like, "I'm sorry, man." And I'm like, "Oh, Morris Day." And Jerome was there too, but he wasn't standing next to him with a mirror, and that made me very disappointed.
Did you ask him where he was?
I didn't know. I saw him. He was further down the hallway. But I was thinking, you know, he's his valet. Jerome's got to stand next to him with that mirror. Dude, Morris Day, you know, what is he? He needs the mirror next to him. Jesse, now Jerome, yes. And here's another one. I guess they just make him small in Minneapolis because he's teeny too, man. Morris Day's like 5'4". I'm 5'8". I was towering over Morris Day, and he weighed like a buck. It's like, man, the funkiest dudes in Minneapolis, you know, between the two of them weigh 215 pounds.
The tinier the man, the funkier the music.
I guess that's what it is, man. Peter Dinklage is going to have to release a funk album pretty soon. All right, let's do one more before we take a break. Sheila E., everybody. Sheila E., a fantastic musician, incredible drummer. And Prince wrote this song for her. Yeah. Now, Sheila E., wasn't she the... She was the music director on Arsenio's show, right?
I think so. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Or was it Magic's show? No, I think it was Arsenio. I think Sheila E., if I remember correctly, Sheila E. was like the music director on Arsenio Hall's show, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And then...
No, it was the magic hour.
It was magic. It was the magic hour.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Well, all right. We got to take a break here. We got more music here. It's we're doing a special Fly Jams edition on here on a Monday morning. My dad will be calling in to tell a joke a little bit later on. But we have more songs that were written by Prince and performed by others. Mostly women, I want to add. Mostly women. So we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll hear more Fly Jams dedicated to Prince. The news is next. Yeah. Now, that's Hammer, MC Hammer. And the reason that we played that one is because he samples When Doves Cry throughout the whole song.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'm like, wait, did Prince write this?
No, he didn't write it. But he absolutely gave MC Hammer permission to use the sample. Because MC Hammer was like, Prince, please. And he's like, go ahead, man. So that's where he sampled.
Your hit song, Pray.
Sampled. But here's, and it was a hit song. And actually, when Hammer went broke, he had to sell a lot of his music. You know, he sold off a lot of his music. But only 75% of Pray was available for him. Because the rest belonged to Prince.
That's still a good chunk.
Yeah. Yeah. Randy in Morongo says, I was at the Arcata in St. Louis on Friday night, and I saw the Prince Experience tribute band. It was fantastic. The lead singer actually looked like him. Wow.
You know, thinking back, my ex-boyfriend, either he worked with a guy who used to be a Prince impersonator, and I wonder where he is now. He's probably making a killing this
probably,
weekend.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. My ex-wife, Heather, when we first started dating, she lived on the first floor of this apartment building. And in the basement, there was a dude who looked exactly, dressed exactly like Prince. He lived in the basement.
Did he know that he dressed like Prince?
Clearly.
Or was he like, no, I made this up.
No, because he looked exactly, like we would see him walk out through the backyard. I'd be like, good God, that's Prince.
You didn't tell me Prince lived here.
Yeah. And he was always blasting beats, too.
Maybe it was Prince.
Maybe it was Prince. He was living in the basement of my ex-wife's apartment building.
Yeah, he just decided, you know, to come here for a little bit and then go back to his life in Paisley Park.
Yep. 312 area code says, did Morris Day give a tribute to Prince? I can't find anything. Here's what it says. Prince, who was found dead in his home in Minneapolis on Thursday at age 57, was remembered by Morris Day, who rose to fame largely because of the Purple Rain singer. Via social media, he says, right now there are no words that can express the feelings we all have for our dear brother Prince. Thank you. Day also posted a vintage picture of himself with Prince and the message, Prince introduced me to you. 773 area code says, Nick, did you hear the Questlove roller skate Prince story? Have you ever heard this?
No, but I like it already.
In his book, Mo Meta Blues, Questlove shared his experience of being invited to go to an after-hours roller skating party with his Purple Majesty.
Man.
Then he saw something he'd never seen before. Prince had a briefcase out on the floor, Questlove wrote. He clicked the lock and opened it and took out the strangest, most singular pair of roller skates I had ever seen. They were clear skates that lit up and the wheels sent out multicolored spark trails on your path. He took them out and did a big lap around the rink, and he could skate like he could sing.
That's the coolest thing ever.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, I heard, he would have pajama parties.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
How did I never, mind you, I've never been to Minneapolis. So,
yeah.
But still, I'm like, I'm jealous.
Well, you know, I mean, the whole Charlie Murphy story that we were talking about on Friday, Eddie Murphy's older brother, Charlie.
Right.
He told the story on Dave Chappelle's show where they go over to, they ended up, this is in the mid-80s when Prince was huge and Eddie was huge. And so they go to the party and then they end up playing basketball.
Yes. And
Prince is still wearing Prince is still wearing the heels and the and stuff.
But could you?
And then he makes pancakes for him.
Getting to go to a pajama party
with
at
Prince.
Prince's house.
How cool! Like, it would be the coolest thing ever.
Like, what'd you do last night? It was a pajama party.
Yeah, I did Prince. Last night. I went to go see Zootopia with Prince. That's what I did. I ate some peanut M&Ms, and Prince and I watched Zootopia. All right, this one is one of my favorites. Prince actually, a lot of these songs, though, I do want to mention, a lot of these songs have been recorded by Prince as well. Mm-hmm. Some of them originally recorded by Prince, and then, you know, like this is one of them, right here is one that Prince recorded. But Chaka Khan got the big hit out of it. Yeah. Now, see, have you heard Prince's version of this?
No.
It's great. But, of course, it doesn't have the Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan, everybody.
Right.
Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan.
And that's kind of the...
Doesn't have that because it's not Chaka Khan singing
really
it's Prince.
Part.
But it's a great version. A great version. Now, here's a song that he clearly didn't sing, but he wrote specifically for Sheena Easton. It wouldn't be appropriate, I don't think, for him to sing... Well, maybe it would. Be appropriate for him to sing a song called Sugar Walls. I don't think that this song, in fact, was written specifically for Sheena Easton. I love this song, too. This Sugar Walls. Real subtle. Something Prince now won't see anything beyond Zootope. Well, you know, last years of his life, he wouldn't see anything PG-13. He's writing songs called Sugar Walls for Sheena Easton. So here it is. Are you ready for another?
But he did write it for someone else.
He did.
So there's that. Yeah. Maybe the silent writing is cool. He just can't talk about it.
Right. Okay, here are some more crazy stories about Prince. You ready?
Yeah.
In 2006, Prince rented a Hollywood mansion belonging to NBA player Carlos Boozer. Bad move, Booz. The latter's former teammate Jay Williams told ESPN Radio that Prince changed the front gate to a Prince sign, changed the master bedroom to a hair salon, changed the streaming blue waters that led to the front door into purple water, and Boozer filed a lawsuit over unauthorized alterations.
No, wait, he rented it?
He rented
it. He's like, no. No, renting is a great idea. Let's change everything.
He'll change it all. No, we have to change it all. I like the fact that he turned the bedroom into a hair salon. How awesome is that?
I mean, he had quite the coiffed hair.
He did. Yeah, I do believe we need a hair salon in here.
It's like, where else is he going to go? He can't go to
go to, he's not going to go to Supercuts.
Yeah. You need
jump
salon.
Ahead to number 20.
Number 20? On the list of crazy stories. Okay, hang on. All right. He had a private hair salon. In an interview with the UK's Daily Mail, Prince's ex-wife, Mate Garcia, said that their Spanish hacienda came equipped with his own hair salon, which she was never allowed to use.
What?
I always went out if I needed my hair done, she explained. The salon wasn't for me. It was for my husband, and Prince needed his space.
Are you kidding me?
Now go to 21.
How do we... his wife was not allowed to call him on the phone.
What?
Even when we were married, Garcia said in the same Daily Mail article, I had to wait for him to call me. I have no idea why. He never really said.
I think she was fine. She's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of expect this kind of stuff if you're married to Prince, right?
guess.
I mean, it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird behavior,
that's
right?
True, but I would think he'd be different, you know, with his wife.
I guess not. He held back an album after freaking out on Ecstasy.
Oh, no.
Prince officially untitled the untitled official album, The Black Album, from 1987, which, by the way, I owned a bootleg copy of. Bought it in New York on the street. And it was, and I thought I was the coolest dude in the world because I had a copy of The Black Album. Yeah, I remember, you guys weren't around. You don't remember when The Black Album broke. Eventually, it got a regular release.
Mm-hmm.
But the bootleg was out there. And it was cool if you had The Black Album. And I had the damn Black Album. I had two copies of the damn Black Album. Don't play around with me, man.
Doesn't make you doubly cool.
It makes me very cool. Prince, officially titled The Black Album, was called because of its all-black cover, was supposed to be his hardest and most aggressive effort to date. Days before its release, he withdrew the album, allegedly after having a bad ecstasy experience, one which supposedly led him to believe that he'd be committing an act of evil if he unleashed this dark-sounding music upon the world. Apparently, the trip wore off. The album was officially released in 1994, and life as we know it did not end. See, 1994. I had it in 87. Don't play around with me. And then I bought it again in 94 when it was officially released.
Was it different?
Yeah. There were a few things that were different because it was like a bootleg, so it wasn't final. It was like there was a record that came out in 2000 by another geek, Dave Matthews Band,
mm-hmm.
Called the Steve Lillywhite Sessions, and it got leaked. This was when they were working with producer Steve Lillywhite, and then they took all that material and they got rid of it, and they did an album called Every Day, which a lot of people consider to be like not one of their best albums. But the Lillywhite Sessions, they leaked, and I got it on CD, you know, and listened to the Lillywhite Sessions and thought it was great. And a lot of the stuff on the Lillywhite Sessions became the album Busted Stuff in 2002.
Okay.
So.
Do you think that Prince made it less evil?
I mean, both of them are great.
The 1993, he's like, no, I got to change
it. Yeah. It's not less evil. It's pretty much a lot of the same material. It sounds better because it's not a bootleg,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, the Black Album was cool. You were cool if you had the Black Album. You get in the car, man, and I had a cassette of the Black Album, man. The chicks would be like, yeah, you can take me to see Dead Ringers. You got a copy of the Black Album. That, at least that's what I thought in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out that way. All right. We got a couple of more Prince-penned songs that other people recorded. This one was... a massive hit, and I think for a while people didn't know it was written by Prince, or at least when it was first released. I don't remember them saying, "Hey, Prince wrote this," but then it came out that he did. It's a great song, too.
It's very appropriate.
It's a great, yeah. Manic Monday. See how it works? How about this? Another little story here. He thought being asked to sing on Bad was an insult.
Okay.
Was Jackson's smash hit was originally intended to be a duet with Prince? Longtime Prince friend Alan Leed told Vibe magazine, Michael coming to Prince and wanting him to do Bad, it literally pissed him off. Prince was like, oh, he wants me to punk out on his record? Who does he think I am? Crazy? He probably couldn't get himself, probably couldn't get outside of himself enough to realize that it would be kind of a big thing that probably would have benefited both of them. Man, I'm not going to punk out on your record.
Who does he think he is?
Crazy? He took out a nationwide personal ad one time.
Oh.
In December of 1993, ads in several national magazines showed an obscured photo of Prince, accompanied by the text, Eligible Bachelor seeks the most beautiful girl in the world to spend the holidays with.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Oh, man, I love Prince. All right, this is easily the biggest hit that someone has had with a Prince song. Thank you. Yeah. Now, do you know who originally recorded, who actually wrote that song for a band?
Oh.
For a band that he, you know, put together.
Oh, I don't know.
The band called The Family.
Oh.
And they released a record. Of course, I bought it. Because anything that was Prince-related, I bought. Like, if I had all the 7-inch mixes, the 12-inch stuff, all of the everything. And anything that he had his name on, I bought.
Did you ever want to put on some high-heeled boots?
No.
And a pirate shirt?
No, it never got that
far.
Not
in this context.
Wait a minute now. Hold it a minute now. So so the band was called The Family. And it was Wendy Melvoin of Wendy and Lisa mm-hmm. fame. Her twin sister was in that band.
Oh.
And then he, Susanna, and then he wrote some songs for them, including Nothing Compares to You, which they recorded. Then he recorded a version of it, and then, but the big version, obviously, was Sinead.
Mm-hmm.
Went through the roof and was huge. Okay, we got a couple more quick ones to get through here, but, well, let's find out what's going on with Steve and the opening bell. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
All right.
Happy Monday. Coming up on the opening bell.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too. All right. That's coming up right at 5 o'clock. All right. One more of these, and this is Alicia Keys. And Prince actually recorded this song to some success, but Alicia Keys had a really nice version of it.
Always thought our love was so right, I guess I was wrong. Always thought you'd be by my side, Papa, now you're gone. And I'm not trying to hear that shit.
Yeah. How come you don't call me no more?
Now he
How come?
Now he recorded it, so is this a cover, essentially?
Yeah.
Or did he write it?
No, it's a cover.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so. Now here's one more quick fact. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Prince hadn't cried since he was a child.
What? I would think he'd be crying like every other week.
You would think, Prince, man.
His music is very emotional.
When he was a boy, Prince's jazz musician father threw him out of the house. The young princeling then cried in a phone booth for 2 hours.
Aww.
According to a 1991 Details profile, he claimed that that was the last time he ever shed tears.
He's like a Chuck Norris-esque. Instead of feats of strength,
yeah.
His are just...
He doesn't cry.
He doesn't cry.
All right, last one. An oral history of Purple Rain and Spin revealed this curious dietary tidbit. I ordered a grilled cheese sandwich, said director Albert Magnoli. Prince ordered spaghetti and orange juice, which is one of his favorite meals. Spaghetti and orange juice? That sounds gross. It's probably because Prince knows something that we don't.
I didn't have, like, a meat sauce?
I don't know.
Or was it just plain spaghetti? Buttered noodles.
Yeah. And orange juice. Wow.
He's like you with the milk.
He's like me with the milk. That's right. That's right.
You're almost like Prince.
That's right, baby. And I'm looking for the most beautiful world and the girl in the world to spend the holidays with me. All right. We're going to break. We'll see you tomorrow, Esmeralda.
See ya.
Okay. I'll be right back.